Because of the pollution, Atmanah of the mind,
Chay, your
Doshat,
because of defilement,
Mohurtikat, in terms of the moment, Bhutan,
also,
Mat,
mind,
Nityesham,
direction,
Atichareena,
being
too neglectful,
Devanam,
of the demigods,
Cha,
also, Atiharana, being too apathetic. Translation of The learned Kashyapa said, because of your mind being polluted, because of the defilement of the particular time, because of your negligence of my directions, and because of your being apathetic to the demigods, everything was inauspicious. The learned Kashyapa said, because of your mind being polluted,
because of defilement
of the particular time,
because
of your negligence
of my directions,
and because of your being apathetic to the demigods, everything was inauspicious. The conditions for having good progeny in society are that the husband should be disciplined in religious and regulative principles, and the wife should be faithful to the husband. In Bhagavad Gita 7.11 it is said that sexual intercourse according to religious principles is a representation of Krishna consciousness. Before engaging in sexual intercourse, both the husband and the wife must consider their mental condition, the particular time, the husband's direction, and obedience to the demigods. According to the Vedic society, there is a suitable auspicious time for sex life, which is called the time for Harabhagana. If he neglected all the principles of spiritual injunction, and although she was very anxious for auspicious children, she was informed that her children would not be worthy to be the sons of a Brahman. There is a clear indication herein that a Brahmana's son is not always a Brahmana. Personalities like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu were actually born Brahmanas, but they were not accepted as Brahmanas because their fathers did not follow the working principles for their birth. Such children are called demons or Rakshasas. There were only one or two Rakshasas in the previous ages due to the negligence of disciplinary methods. But during the age of Kali, there is no discipline in sex life. How then can one expect the children? Certainly, unwanted children cannot be a source of happiness in society. But through the Krishna consciousness movement, they can be raised to the human standard by chanting the holy names of God. That is the unique contribution of Lord Chaitanya to human society. Om Agyan Kirandasya Ananjana Vishalashaya Kuru Mahatabhiya Kashmarishkiya Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Kriya Jaitu Kararaja Shri Bhagavad Gita.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Maitreya said, the great sage Kashyapa, that's the first wife, who was trembling because of fear that her husband had offended. She understood that he had been dissuaded from his daily duties of offering human prayers. Yet, she desired the welfare of her children in this world. The Lord Kashyapa said, because of your mind being polluted, because of the defilement of a particular time, because of your negligence of my directions, and because of your being apathetic to the demigods, everything was inauspicious. Before engaging in sexual intercourse, both the husband and wife must consider their mental condition. So this is very important because the super soul, he's making arrangements for the next birth of the next living entity. He's arranging for the body. So at the time of conception, then the proper soul will be sent. So according to the mental condition of the husband and wife, then the super soul would arrange a particular soul to come into that womb. So therefore, if the mother and father have the proper mental conception, then Krishna will send an advancing soul and to take birth in the womb of the devotee soul. Those who are following regular principles. So that soul, he will take birth in that good situation, Krishna will send him. But if the mental condition is not correct, then he will send anyone who has no aim or direction in life, who is not really making a progression, or is just interested in sense gratification. So if that's the mental situation, okay. So Krishna will send that type of soul with that particular mentality into that particular atmosphere that has been generated by the mother and father at the time of creation. So we can see here that the mental conception of the mother and father, they give the progressive start for the child's new life. And at the end of the child's life, then his own mental conception that will determine whether he's going back to Godhead or whether he's going to take another birth. But both are dependent on your actual mental conception. So the child, he doesn't have much say in his birth. But his mother and father do. If they get the proper mental conception, then he can take a good birth, a progressive birth. And then he should be given all education in Krishna consciousness. So the child can develop a proper mental conception. So at the time of leaving his body, he's been trained, he has a proper conception. He goes back to Godhead. He says, one who is thinking of it at the time of leaving his body, he comes back home without doubt. That means his conception was proper. He was thinking of Krishna. What is his next destination? Whatever your consciousness is fixed on at the time of death, that state you will take down there, Krishna's coming up. So you've been trained to serve Krishna, remember Krishna. Then where's his next destination? It's not in the material world, it's going to be serving Krishna. So he has to go to a place where everybody's serving Krishna, because that's his consciousness at the time of death. Where is that place? That's back to Godhead. That's all I do there is serve Krishna. So here is the responsibility of the grihasthas who are bringing the child or making that favorable situation for a progressive soul so he can go back to Godhead. And so this is the importance of the responsibility of the parents. And this is the price to pay for sex life. After all, this is the purpose of the Grihastha Ashram, the sex life, but it has a price. The price is you've got to be responsible. Then you can bring a proper child, you can train the child, and you can take the child back to Godhead. You achieve the sex life, and the soul achieves its destination of going back to Godhead. So that's a nice situation. Of course, if you want to remain a sutra, that's okay, but if you want to go through the reformative processes of life, like Brahminicalism initiation and different samskaras, etc., for your purification, then that's different. Then you have to pray that price of responsibility in society. Brahmachari, he has to pay a price. That is tolerance. That is the Brahmachari has. But the Grihastha, his price is there to accept that responsibility. That's why the Grihastha Ashram is more advanced than the Brahmachari Ashram. It's a progression. Brahmachari has the Brahmachari Ashram. So the Grihastha Ashram is more advanced than the Brahmachari. Brahmachari is just for the path for himself and be tolerant. He can't be tolerant and get married. Apart from that, there's not so much responsibility. What Prabhupada means, everything in preaching Krishna consciousness is so everybody can be fully engaged in Krishna consciousness also. Basically, according to the rules, the Brahmachari is practicing tolerance, and the Grihastha is accepting all the responsibility. For all society, the Brahmachari is more or less on his own. He goes to the ashram of the Guru and assists himself to cultivate his spiritual life. Goes back to not so much. But the Grihastha, he has responsibility for the whole society, beginning with his own children. That has to be there. But then he has responsibility for the whole society, because the Grihastha are maintaining society. Brahmacharya is the Grihastha and he's the maintenance. The Grihastha, they maintain society. So therefore, that's a great responsibility of the Grihastha to make sure that society is going peaceably. That's their responsibility. So if they follow all the rules, then it goes peacefully. If they don't follow the rules, then it doesn't. It's not peaceful, really. The woman has been practically condemned. She did everything wrong. Kashyapa also. So there's not going to be any nice, peaceful children. It'd be completely the opposite. And when they're born, they don't exactly make a nice, peaceful vibration in the material world. They just simply cause terror throughout the universe. This one wasn't true. So that is the fault of the parents. They didn't take that responsibility to look after the this is the society. Prabhupada was, I mean, he had the vision to see, but he would say different things different times. One devotee he would see, and he had three children. three young children. Nice man. Very familiar. And Prabhupada said to him, no more children. You do your service, no more children. That's number five. Another devotee asked Prabhupada, and Sri Papa, my wife doesn't have children. Prabhupada said, that means she wants sex. Now Sri Papa, my wife wants children. Prabhupada said, yes, she wants sex. He said, no, she wants to have children, Sri Papa. He said, that means she wants to have sex. You go to Bombay. So, then there was another devotee, actually son of the devotee. He had to three or four children also. The son was growing up, he became a teenager, I guess, into his 20s. And Prabhupada said, he instructed the manager, he should get married, he should produce lots and lots of children. So, this one wasn't so grammatically inclined. Okay, produce lots of children, that's your community service. The idea is that the responsibility for the situation you are now, you were born in, was simply due to your parents, our parents' consciousness at the time of conception. We happen to have that karma to kind of fit that, so that's what we were born in. Somehow or another, by the way, I don't think it's karma, I became a Krishna conscious group. Somehow or another. Anyway, it's due to devotional service and the mercy of a great Vaishnava. Previous life or maybe a million lives ago, but ultimately mostly he said that he actually took the process of devotional service, but generally it's not by birth. Simply by birth that you come in contact with a few of those or anything like that. Unless you're born in a family of people. Anyway, so here's the idea of marriage life is to general idea is complicated sex. That's what the marriage is for. But actually the real reason for the marriage institution is to restrict sex life. Prabhupada says that so there's an actual inclination for sex life in this material world. So the dogs have that inclination, so they can make right out there in the street. So the humans come following the footsteps of the dogs. They have a marriage institution. And then they get married and then they're allowed to have sex and have children. Not indiscriminately. So the marriage system is there. So Prabhupada says, anyway, the idea of the marriage institution is sex. But its purpose is restricting. You don't go out the street and have it like the cats and dogs. You have it like, you know, proper humans and you have it regulated and everything. It is things you do from the cats and dogs. And even though the same principle of sex life is there, but at least it's going to distinguish it from the animals, so there is a way to do it properly. And the whole science behind it is about the blood of naked souls for the children of Bhakti Bhakti. But the idea is, although it proper says it's a license to sex life, that's not the main purpose behind it. It's there, you do get that license. But the purpose of actually means Krishna, is not. I feel sex inclination, so therefore I'll get married to satisfy my desires. So we're using it as a means to do sex, but that's not the real purpose. The real purpose is to restrict those desires. This was the effect of Veda Vyas. And I'm rather looking pointed to now, when he was feeling despondent, I didn't know the way that Vedanta Sutra, this is the essence of the Vedas and Vedanta Sutra. Still I'm dissatisfied. So Nirav pointed out that it's your defect. You presented all these rules and regulations and restrictions. You've emphasized on all the do's and do-nots, etc. And people are taking acts of religion. Because you've written it down, and they're saying, now look, this is what it says in the Vedas. We want to be religious, we want to be Dhammic, so we have to do our samskaras. So, you see, like the Vibha samskara, if you look in the Satriya Satyakita, the Bhagavad Gita, already book of samskara, when it comes to the Vibha, the marriage, pages and pages and pages and pages. It's interesting. Samskara, people like it. So many rituals are there, you know, days and days ago, and sometimes. So, Narada Muni says to the great day, yes, now look what you've done. You've written so many rules. You do this ritual. So people, you've said, lacks and lacks of rituals, you have to spend to get yourself in the world of marriage. And he's saying, yeah, but there's nothing against the time religion. Because you've written it in the Vedas. So they're saying all this. He said, this was supposed to be a restriction. It wasn't supposed to be a religion, but everybody's made a religion out of it. There's all everything sense gratification, okay, it's restricted. So there's rules and regulations in the Shastra. Restriction, restriction, restriction. Everybody's saying, okay, we want sense gratification. So this restriction, but this is how it becomes our religion. This becomes our karma. This is our religion. They misunderstood, or you made them misunderstand by all your the way you've written, and you haven't emphasized enough that the real purpose of life is to serve Krishna, to go back to God. You've overemphasized all the rules and regulations, and they're saying, this is our Dharma, because look, it's written in the Vedas, they follow the Vedas, we're the followers of the Vedas, and this is our religion, this is our Dharma. I thought, no, it's supposed to be a restriction, not that you turn it into your religion. It's a restriction. Religion needs to go back to God. It's training one to go back to God. They not just stay in the cycle of birth and death. So this is your defect. So he's pointing out the defects of it. Then he was Srimad Bhagavatam. Baby, yes, you're Srimad Bhagavatam. Then he was happy. Then he started to go back by Krishna and tell the real purpose of life. So today is the experience of Vrindavan Dasa Thakur. Krishna Lila Vedyas, Aranga Lila Vrindavan Dasa, something like that. That same person who was Vedyas in Krishna Lila, he's now appeared as Vrindavan Dasa in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now if you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, the first page, the middle page, right after the end, it's nothing but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu falling unconscious and devotees crying in ecstasy, dancing, eating prasadam, embracing each other, taking the dust of their feet, going around. It's nothing but story after story of a bunch of madmen. But here you see, Vedavyas, he didn't make a mistake again. He said, last time when I appeared, I wrote the Vedas, and I wrote all this, all these rules and regulations, all these restrictions, I breathed into a religion. I'm not going to make mistakes like this time. So when he appeared as Vrindavan Das, he's planning for his charming Hare Krishna, associating with the devotees, taking off the shroud, dancing in ecstasy. That's all it is all the way through. So here, Vrindavan Das, in fact, those contributions, he didn't make the same mistake again. So,
according to the Vedas, the Dharmic way, you'll get more happiness.
this happiness never broken this is more. So you have police your power, you have authority, so you're getting your hand, you're going to do this in the shops. So you're calling authority as well, so you get a higher happiness. So it's better to do that, follow that principle. And but the idea behind it is sense gratification, you want to earn satisfaction. So, it's prize play again. Because you're going to the God or the demigods, you're begging something. You have to give something in return. So I want sense gratification. Please supply me. So, okay, you have a real way to get it. This is the prize you have to pay. There is some more service involved, etc. Okay, you perform like this and you'll get the result. But if you don't follow the rules and regulations, then you get the different result. You get the slack. You should be secure to the supreme rule. In other words, you've got to be very, very particular and careful when you're dealing with the Lord and the instructions. It's very, very strict. It's because you want to treat the Lord like an order supplier. You want everyone to serve you. Okay, so you do your part and then you get the result. And if you don't do your part, then you get a bad, very bad result. If you misapply the instructions, then you get a very bad result. So therefore, out of fear, everyone has to do it very nicely. So that's the idea. You're all doing very, very fine. You're doing very, very as nice as possible. Followers of your way of induction, following Dharma command, path nicely to get the good result. But if you do it wrong, then you get bad results. And this keeps them very low fearing and scared. So they have to do it very, very nicely. Then they get the result for themselves. So this is another defect. Gopal Bhattacharya points out in his Sapir-Tika, in the introduction. He says, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. So this only is Dharmic instructions of how to join in the material world. So, we go to worship all the day with us, which says you perform sacrifice, then you're going to supply you, you'll be happy, they'll be happy. So you have to do all these, follow all these rituals that it says. That's part of the religion. So you perform all the injunctions, which are obligated to you from birth. Rini means you're a debtor. You have a debt to pay from birth. You have six kinds of debts, another father, relations, and then you have to pay back that debt to all these six debtors. So that means you've got to worship them. You've got to worship the picture of the forefathers, you've got to worship the demigods, so giving rain and light and eating. And that's your tax. You've got to do some food for them to satisfy them. And by doing that, they become their servant. They become Kinkara. So there's two things, Rini and Kinkara. First, you're a debtor. You have to pay that debt from birth. But when by repaying that debt, you've got to worship the forefathers, etc. That means you become their servant, you become Kinkara. That's right, look, Kinkara. So you become a servant. So what is Krishna saying in Bhagavad Gita? Those who worship the devas, those who worship the teachers, the forefathers, and but you have lives to do it, because you're indebted to them. So you have to worship them, And as a result of worshipping them, you become the son, therefore the kind of thing for the everybody to attract. So you thank the security time, you're doing your dharma properly, but what was the result of that following all the rules and regulations nicely? You've got your sense gratification, regulated sense gratification according to dharma, but what is the result? You take another person, pick your own job, some day you love them. Because you become a servant of them, you become any person. You thank it, you thank it, you don't. If you don't perform these tests, then you go to hell. You incur sin and you go down to love planet. Well, nobody wants that. So you do your dharma properly and pay off the debt. As a result, you have to pay enough burden to a universe. I guess most people want that. But it's not very progressive. So in the name of dharma, you're being kept in the cycle of birth and death. So that was actually dharma. But it's causing another problem. You don't follow the rules, you go to hell. If you do follow the rules, you more or less go to hell again anyway. Because samsara is hellish. The birth of death is hellish. So both ways. So how do you solve the problem? So Prabhupada says there. Certainly unwanted children cannot be a source of happiness in society, but through the Krishna consciousness movement they can be raised to human standards by chanting the holy name of God. That is a unique contribution of Lord Chaitanya to human society. So here is the saving grace, here is the hope. By taking to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, then you can get out of this, you can get out of this atheistic sinful repetition of birth and death and all that. Or you can also get out of the dharmic traditional cycle of birth and death in the higher planet. By the grace of Chaitanya. In other words, you can transcend everything simply by taking to Krishna consciousness. So Yogi Hasadashram, Hasadashram, Nari Sanyasashram, Divanashram, Dharma, your strict controversy, rules and regulations, that it's all that is do and do not. If beyond all these, your mental condition can simply be Krishna's mind. I am Krishna's eternal servant. Beyond all the other designations that we're forced to accept if you understand the material world. So, I am the eternal servant. Krishna is my only. As Prabhupada used to say, no corner, no problem. We're not interested. What do you want? No corner, no problem. Actually, you're not simple. We're not interested in five activities, not into simple, but we're interested in only that. So this is the Krishna consciousness movement. If you can simply absorb ourselves in our identity as eternal servant of Krishna, engage ourselves in the Krishna service, then we can transcend all of these different designations, all these complications of this material world. If she was a devotee, then all these rules are made to have fear, now she's fearful. And Lord Shiva may have to give a reaction because after all, we dissipate the egos. Well, so many fearful situations in this material. Krishna consciousness, whether you're sinful or whether you're biased, Krishna consciousness can transcend beyond all that, saves you all that problem. And this is actually the society that Prabhupada created for us. Krishna servant, here is Krishna servant. Somehow I'm going to expand this mission. So many processes we had for distribution. Whatever it was, He absorbed in Krishna Chaitanya temple, in temple activities, preaching, hearing chanting, all these Hare Krishna, but just absorbed him all night by that and spreading Krishna consciousness. And then you don't have to worry about all the do's and do nots of the rules and regulations of the different shastras. If you follow Prabhupada's advice, how he's given, then we can become unmovable, we can have gone beyond all of his different designations. So that is the magic conception we want. If we can develop this magic conception, and that is the conception of making magic happen. You're going back to the Prabhupada's. You're going back to God, it depends on your mental condition at the time of death. So that is the mental condition we want. Otherwise, we have the mental condition of sinful or a mental condition of Dhamma. Both are wrong. Our mental condition should be Krishna, we are Krishna Sena. Then that takes the whole problem. So these stories are showing implications and complications. Just put it a bit sensitive education. But how intricate and complicated it is. You look at sense gratification here, it disturbs the whole universe. You know, you have the demons that it disturbs the whole universe. The source was a little bit of sense gratification. It's a little thing like that. So this is how complicated this material is. Now a simple Krishna consciousness is this is the make Krishna as our only shelter and the ordinary and our only activities serves Krishna. Not that we neglect all the other rules and regulations and husband and wife and all desires like that. It's still going to go on, it's all secondary. It all becomes secondary. And your main identification is Hare Krishna. Somehow or another, due to my karma, I'm in this situation I'm in. But it's all secondary. I'm going through it. I have to go through that. But it's all secondary. My real ambition is to be Ayananda Kumarajitika. Situated at the lotus feet. I've fallen into this material world. I've got to go through it. But my only aspiration is to be stepping back to the lotus feet. So if you always maintain that consciousness, that outlook, and everything else becomes secondary, then it's not so important anymore, it doesn't become frightening anymore, even though you actually don't have to face all these reactions. If you know that Krishna is your eternal master, eternal servant, despite what goes on in this material world, Krishna is going to take you back and hug it, if you have that kind of inner confidence. If you buy that action for the moment, understanding, and both going through life and tolerating all the ups and downs. But you don't have to worry about all that reaction, karmic reaction. Because your main focus, your main consciousness, is on the other eternal identity, which is that saves you from all this, burns up all the so-called karmic reactions that you should have done.